We started a new series last week that I titled, it's pretty simple, Holy Spirit 101, The Basics. The Basics. So it's just a three-week series about the Holy Spirit. And I want to start off this week with the way I started off last week, just to kind of give a picture and a reminder of who we are as a church, and maybe even one of the reasons that the Lord has us giving messages such as this and talking about God, the Holy Spirit. And that is that Evident Life Church, we are a gospel-centered, Spirit-filled Bible church. So what do? We keep our focus on the gospel of Jesus. The world needs to hear the gospel of Jesus. We're going to keep our focus on that. We're going to make sure we're talking about it. We're going to make sure that we're sharing it with others. The next thing about Evident Life Church is we're going to keep our teaching grounded in God's word. And we're going to keep our lives filled and in step with the Holy Spirit. We're gospel-centered, Spirit-filled Bible church. And last week, as we got into this discussion about God, the Holy Spirit, we learned three things. I just want to give us a quick reminder on that, quick refresher, if you will. Number one is that the Holy Spirit is God. Yeah, I got a few amens on that, right? The Holy Spirit is God. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. And so the way we think about the Holy Spirit is the way we think about God. If we're excited about the Holy Spirit, we're excited about God. If we're leery and embarrassed or kind of, I don't know about the Holy Spirit, that's the way we are with God. See, the Holy Spirit is God. The second thing is the Holy Spirit is God with us. He is with us. In fact, we're actually his temples, his dwelling place. The Father is in heaven. The Son is in heaven at his right hand. The Holy Spirit is God with us. And the third thing is we understand that the Holy Spirit is active in our lives. Not just a placeholder. He is active in the lives of believers. This week we're going to spend our time discussing how we go from believing that the Holy Spirit is truly God with us to actually engaging with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Y'all ready to engage with the Holy Spirit? Y'all ready to live a life engaged with the Holy Spirit? Not just put him on a shelf, but actually doing life with God. That's the blessing that we have, man. That's a grace that we have. Be doing life with God every day, every single day. Title of today's message is Keeping in Step and Walking with the Holy Spirit. Keeping in step and walking with the Holy Spirit. Our primary text of scripture today comes from Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, that states, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So what I'd like to do, it's a short passage. I'd like for us to all declare this in unison. It's up on the screen. It should be in the lower thirds if you're online right now. So let's say this all together with me. Say, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Little story I read this week. There was a father and a son. They arrived at a small western town, and they were looking for this guy's, for the father's uncle. They'd never met him before. They'd never seen this uncle before in their lives. They're walking along, and suddenly the father just shouts out and points across the square to a man that's walking away. All he sees is his back, this man walking away, and he tells his son, he says, look, there goes my uncle. And his son looks at his dad like he's crazy, and he's like, how do you know that he's your uncle? We've never even seen him before. You've never seen him before. And the dad tells his son, he says, I know him because he walks exactly like my father. That's how I know him. He walks just like dad walks. Look, if we walk like God, if we walk by the Spirit, if we live a life that's in step with the Holy Spirit, we too will be recognized will be recognized as God's people by our walk, by how we walk. So what does keeping in step with the Holy Spirit look like? We're going to talk about that this morning. What's the evidence? How do we know that we are actually in step with the Holy Spirit? We're going to look at that today. And does walking in the Spirit automatically happen, or do we need to be intentional and take action if we're going to be those who are walking or in step with the Holy Spirit? Point number one, topic number one, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to our text for today. Galatians 5:25 once again says that since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, let us listen for the Holy Spirit, listen to the Holy Spirit, and then let us actually do what the Holy Spirit leads us to do, right? Amen. So keeping in step, we're walking differently. We're walking God's way. I was thinking about this week, and I'm thinking about there are a lot of Christians who, they have a profession of faith. And I'm a Christian. They'll even put it out on their social media, right? I'm a Christian, a profession of faith. But the problem is that their walk doesn't look any different today than it did before. They're still really living the same way. They're still walking like they used to walk, living like they used to live, doing what they used to do, talking like they used to talk, right? They're living out of their own strength. They're living for their own pleasure, their own plans, their own purposes, and all that stuff. And they're living in their own understanding. And they're living lives that are, frankly, far from God. They're seeing very little of God in their lives. No breakthrough, no change, no power, no fruit. Same struggles. And for too many, it becomes a proclamation of faith without the power of faith. I mean, let's be real. Maybe some of you have been there in your life. Maybe you're there right now today. You have a proclamation of faith in Christ, but man, you're not seeing the power of Christ showing up and changing things and changing others even around you. It's easy to fall into that kind of rut, Christian rut. How does this kind of stuff happen? How do we become followers of Jesus who just kind of talk about it and say we're doing it, but we're not really seeing it? It's not really just flowing out of us. Romans chapter 8 kind of leads us into that answer. How can this happen? How can we have a proclamation of faith without seeing the power of faith? How can we look the same today as we did even before Jesus? In Romans 8, beginning of verse 5, says, those who live according to the flesh. In other words, those who still live in the flesh, who keep doing life the same way that they did it before they met Jesus, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. So in other words, they're really still thinking the same way that they used to think. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. I don't know, man, but I want some of that life and peace. I don't want that death. And we don't have to put up with that death anymore. We can walk in the Spirit, have our minds set on the Spirit, and live in life and peace, no longer in death. Some professing Christians, though, haven't changed their minds. And that's a problem. That's a big problem. living in step with the Spirit begins. It starts with us thinking differently. Not thinking like we used to think. Not thinking like the world thinks. But thinking God's way now. About life. About everything. So being in step with the Spirit begins with thinking differently, as we see here in Romans 8. So are you thinking differently? Here's some things that if you're thinking differently now, you'll be thinking upon these things. And we find it in Scripture in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, that's hard to find these days, I know. But you know where I find it? I find it right here. Amen. So what are you thinking on, right? Are you thinking differently? Whatever's true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Are you thinking differently? Is this where your mind is going? Is this what you're attracted to? Right, noble, true, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Is this where your mind wanders? Romans 12:2 puts it this way, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. In other words, how? By thinking differently. Then, when you think differently, you're going to be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the Spirit-filled life, the in-step with the Spirit life, begins with thinking differently. But that thinking differently goes somewhere. Because when we think differently, when we think God's way, and we start thinking about things God's way, we're going to start walking into those things that God has us thinking about differently now. We're going to start stepping into those things and doing things differently. So it begins with thinking differently, but then it leads to us doing life differently. Walking differently. Stepping into life and situations and relationships differently than we used to. This is walking in step with the Spirit. It says in Romans 8, 12 and 13, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. How many of you know that as a Christian, you have an obligation? You do. Oh, but I'm free. Exactly. You're free and you have an obligation to that freedom. Okay? You have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh, to the old nature, to satisfying your flesh, what you want and all that kind of stuff. No, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. There it is again. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Walking in the Holy Spirit, in step with the Holy Spirit, life and peace. In the flesh, there's death. Once again, we're reminded of that. So in step with the Spirit is to be in step with the will of God. It's choosing the ways of the Lord, which are obedience, which is righteousness. I mean, think of it this simply. If you're in step with the Holy Spirit, you're literally walking in the footsteps of God. Where is God going? Who's He chasing after? I got some spare time. Well, where do God's footsteps go when you have extra time in your life? I mean, hey, I've had to deal with this message all week long, okay? Now, I know I say this often, but I tell you what, I wrestle with it all week long, and I've had all kinds of conviction all week long. So y'all suck it up and take a little conviction right now, okay? I'm just saying. So seriously, where do we go when we have extra time that the Lord's blessed us with? Extra strength and breath in our lungs. Where do we go? Do our steps take us to the television? you know, to ice cream or whatever, to feeding the flesh, to defeat, or do we walk where God is walking? Where would God go? Where would his steps lead? On a Saturday morning, June 4th, I think they'd probably lead to Midwest Food Bank, where we're helping those who need some food. You know what I'm saying? Instead of sitting in front of the television watching golf. I don't know, whatever, right? Basketball, something like that, that really matters. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I like to simplify things because we've done such a good job at complicating life as Christians. When Scripture says to be in step with the Spirit, I just take it literally. Where is God going? I need to be in his footsteps following him, in step with him. If he's walking this way, I'm walking this way. If he's going nice and slow with something, I'm going slow with him. If he's running, I'm running. I want to be in step with God, in step with the Spirit. And Scripture is telling us that if we're in step with the Spirit, we're going to be thinking and doing things that God would be thinking and doing, and not what our flesh would be thinking, doing, and wanting. It's really that simple. And I know it hits us right between the eyes like it did me all week long. I'm out there this morning once again going through all of this, praying and seeking and going, I know, Lord, I got some changes to make. I know. In step with the Spirit. James 3:11 says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You know why the Lord gave me that passage? Yeah, you got it. I thought of it this way. Here's the analogy I'll think of. I'll go away from water and trees and all that kind of stuff. And I'll just give you this analogy. It goes like this, okay? If I got one leg going this direction, right? And then the other leg wants to go this direction. Before too long, what happens? This is not comfortable. In fact, if I kept going, somebody would have to come and pick me up and maybe call 911. It's uncomfortable. It's painful to go two different directions. It doesn't work. Could put you in the hospital. At very least, if you're super limber and you can do the splits or something crazy like that, at very least, you go nowhere. You go nowhere. You're still in the same position. No progress, no movement, nothing, no advancement. Frustration. You know how many Christians are living that kind of life right now? They're frustrated. They're like, I'm not seeing God. I'm not going anywhere. Nothing's happening. There's no fruit. I'm going to tell you what. It's probably because their life is going in both directions. And as long as we continue to walk that direction of the flesh, I don't know why I'm pointing on this side of the room, on the flesh side, but anyway, y'all are the flesh side today. I don't understand why, but anyway, that's a joke, y'all, okay? Let's go to point number two. There is actually evidence that we're in step with the Spirit. In other words, we can examine our lives like I've been doing all week. Oh, God, help me. We can examine our lives and actually know if we're in step with the Holy Spirit. There are signs, there's evident life. There's evidence of life, if you will, in the Spirit. Mark 16, 17. Just this whole precept that Jesus introduces. It's Mark's version, really, of the Great Commission, where Jesus said, and these signs will accompany those who believe. These signs, this evidence will accompany believers. In other words, and then he goes on, he says, in my name, they're going to drive out demons. They're going to speak in new tongues. On and on. The point on this, though, is that there is evidence. There are signs that we are in step with God. There are signs that we are being transformed. There are signs that we are walking with him and doing the things that God has called us to do and equipped us to do and given us the grace to do now. There are signs, evidence in our lives. And there is evidence, there are signs we can know if we are in step with the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. I want to get a broader context now of this passage. Our primary passage is from Galatians 5:25. Let's get a broader understanding and context of what it looks like, what the evidence is that we are truly in step or walking with the Holy Spirit. We don't have to wonder. It's none of that, okay? We can know right here. Verse 16 of Galatians 5. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Okay, there's some evidence. For the flesh desires what's contrary, right? Different directions, what's contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict. It's not like they just aren't like in perfect synchronicity or something like that, right? They're actually in conflict. They're opposed to one another, right? So they're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Verse 19, the acts of the flesh, remember the flesh is contrary to the acts of the Spirit. The acts of the flesh, they're obvious. And we can still say that today. They're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, Paul says to the church, that those who live like this, those who have this fruit, this evidence, these signs in their life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Somebody just said, wow, I agree. Wow. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of being in step with the Spirit of God, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And the one the Lord hit me right between the eyes on all week, self-control. Self-control. Against such, there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now our passage today, verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoked, and envying each other. So, what evidence, what signs are you seeing in your life? Were you on that first list, the list of the flesh? Or were you on the second list that Paul gave to the church? The list of the fruit of the Spirit. There's evidence. We can know. We can look at our lives. We can examine our lives. We can put a mirror right in front of us. We can look at our day after day after day. And we can know where we are standing and how we are walking and who we are following. And this is an obligation we have to know, are we choosing the flesh or the Spirit? When I chose to walk by the Spirit and crucify my flesh, and it didn't happen like when I was 5 years old, and it didn't happen until about 15, 16 years ago when it really, really happened. And I realized that my life, and I put that mirror in front of me, I put this in front of me, I put Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, in front of me, and I looked and I said, uh-oh. And then I'm reading, and in Romans 6, 7, and 8, and I'm reading about the grace of God and how powerful it is to break off sin in my life and to free me. And I can say at one time I used to be like that, but now, and I'm like, but I'm still like that. And what does all this mean? And I woke up to truth. I woke up to what life really looks like if we're walking in the Spirit, if we are embracing the things of God and walking by grace and not in our own strength and in the flesh. And I look at all that stuff and I choose the Spirit in a way that I never had before, which means walking away from the flesh. And it was very quickly that a besetting sin that had been tormenting me for a long time and hurting my family for a long time began to fall off, began to disappear. Fits of rage was one of the things in here, right? Won't inherit the kingdom. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I got that issue. That's my flesh. I remember when I was just a little kid, my parents were here today from Texas, Mom and Dad. Let's just say hi to Scott and Nancy. Anyway, they were here for Ben's graduation and their anniversary was yesterday. Yes, 56 years yesterday. Yes. I remember when I was just a wee little lad, just a kid, and my parents came to Christ when I was really a little kid, and they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when that happened, my dad received freedom from the addiction of smoking. You know, sometimes God works that way. Sometimes it's like suddenly. You read in the Bible about the suddenlies that happen. And sometimes it's a process. The process of sanctification, it's a process, right? It's a day by day by day. This is one of those examples of a suddenly that happened. He gave his life to the Lord. He chose to walk in the Spirit. And the Lord just supernaturally graced him and took away the desire. Actually, he went from longing for cigarettes to couldn't stand the smell or the presence of it at all. It would make him want to throw up. I mean, that kind of dramatic change in his life in this. Evidence, again, of walking in the Spirit. When I really began to embrace and understand walking in the Spirit, one thing that God gave me that I saw in my life was I can only say it supernaturally, because it wasn't in the natural, but supernaturally, I began to understand the Bible. It was like the lights came on, you know, ding, ding, ding. This is what I'm saying. And the pieces started to come together. And it was like the puzzle that I thought could never be put together began to come together. And I could begin to see the picture that God had painted in and through his word. And I'm still seeing it. And there's still pieces that are coming together. I attribute all of that to the work of the Holy Spirit, to walking in step with the Spirit and beginning to see things illuminated and clarity begin to come. Evidences, again, of being in step with the Spirit. It says in John 16, 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So what was happening to me and continues to happen to me is exactly what God's word says. It's going to happen as we're walking in the Holy Spirit. In addition to the evidence of fruit of the Spirit, though, there are also the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Another evidence of being in the Spirit, of walking in the Spirit, of being in step with the Spirit. So we see in Galatians, the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Galatia and says, hey, there's fruit, there's evidence in this way. To the church in Corinth, Paul writes a letter and he reminds them and tells them about the different gifts, the other types of evidences of the Holy Spirit at work, alive and active in and through the body of Christ. And so it says this in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning verse 7. Now to each one, speaking of each of the saints, each member of the body of Christ, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Why? For the common good, he says. Again, not for a big show, not to show that you're super Christian, not even for you personally, actually, in that case, in this particular case of these nine gifts, but for the common good, for the good of the body of Christ. To one, there is given through the Spirit. Where's it coming from? Coming from the Spirit, from walking in step, being in step with the Spirit. From one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. Don't let anybody tell you that God's not a miracle worker and that they shouldn't be happening in the body of Christ. Miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these, all of them, how many of them? All of them. Not just some that we think, you know, are acceptable or convenient or good for today or, but he says all of these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he, the Holy Spirit, who is God with us, distributes them to each one. Are you in each one? To each one as he determines. These can be strange, mysterious, supernatural, but they are spiritual evidences. They're gifts that happen in our lives, in the life of the body of Christ, as we are walking in the Spirit, as we are in step individually and corporately with the Holy Spirit. This, in other words, is what Scripture says and how Scripture has laid it out, how God interacts with us. Again, it's not a mystery. God shows us. He talks to us about it. But the evidence and the fruit of the gifts require, point number three, eagerly desiring life with the Spirit. So we got the fruit, we got the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We can walk in step with the Spirit. But there's this whole thing of eagerly desiring life in the Spirit. In other words, intentionally wanting the Holy Spirit to be moving in our lives. Intentionally wanting to step in the footsteps of the Holy Spirit. You know, when I don't want to fall, let's say I'm walking along and it's a rocky area or something like that. I'm looking down where I'm going to place my feet. I'm being intentional to make sure that I'm going to walk in a way that's not going to have me crashing and burning and busting a leg or something like that. I mean, how much more should our Christian lives be that way, that we're actually paying attention and being intentional about how we're walking, the steps that we are taking as Christians? In Matthew 14, beginning of verse 24, all the way through 33, we read about this encounter where Peter, one of the disciples, of course, right? He was willing to do whatever he had to do in order to walk with God, in order to get closer to God, in order to be in the footsteps of Jesus, in order to be next to him, to be with him, to be about what he's about and doing what he's doing. He was willing to do something crazy. He was willing to do something that looked foolish, that looked impossible. And he stepped out of a boat that wasn't sinking, that was just fine. He stepped out of a boat and began to walk on water in order to be closer to Jesus. That was an intentional act of faith driven by desire for God. Thanks, Dad. And this is how the Christian life is supposed to be. Intentional. We have such a desire to be in step with the Spirit, to be in step with God, that we're going to take action, intentional action, with focus. And we're going to walk towards him in his footsteps, his way. There's a misconception, though, that walking by the Spirit, this freedom from the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all of these different things that are the evidences and results of being in step with the Spirit, that there's a misconception, though, that all these things just magically happen. Poof. Poof. Magically, the fruit of the Spirit just happens. Magically, it's a magic wand, and the gifts of the Spirit, they just start flowing out of you, man, you know? And the problem is this. When it doesn't happen that way, when God just doesn't come and, like, take control of you like you're a little puppet and start to have you talk certain ways or give you certain words or do little miracles through you just like that, or automagically just cause sin to be gone, you know? I don't know if I made up that word or not, but that was a cool word, automagically. Just happens, right? No effort, no responsibility on our side. When that doesn't happen, the problem is that people then begin to create an image and a picture of God, and they begin to create doctrines in order to fit with their experience or lack thereof experience. And you get people creating a God in their own image, creating a walk with the Lord in their own image, really creating their own path on what it looks like to walk with the Lord. I'm gonna call out one, since we're talking about the Holy Spirit. There's a whole doctrine called cessationism. So if you're a cessationist, you believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit have ceased. And there's some hoops that people jump through in order to make that point. They say things the Bible doesn't say in order to get to that end. Why? Because they're not seeing it in their life the way they think they should see it and how they should see it. This is, maybe I'm making some assumptions here. So they got to create a doctrine in order to explain it. We got to be careful about that, church, that we don't create doctrines, that we don't follow doctrines because we're not seeing or experiencing things the way we think we should see them or experience them. What has God's word said? That's our doctrine. The word of God. How does God say himself that he interacts with his creation, mankind? That's what we believe, whether we see it or experience it or not. But what we should do is this. We should desire to interact with God on his terms. We should desire to be closer to God like Peter did when he got out of the boat. That should be our heart's desire, whether we see it now or we don't see it now. And we're talking about the gifts and the fruit. God, we know God can do anything he wants to do. He is sovereign. He's perfect. He's in control. And if he wants to take somebody right here, right now, and just begin to speak through you without you even being aware of it or intending to do it, he can do that if he wants to. He can do that. He did that with a donkey, right? Maybe you're a donkey. You know what I'm saying? But anyway. Hey, don't hear what I didn't say. I'm just saying. Anyway. It says this in 1 Corinthians 14:12. It says, try to excel in the gifts of the Spirit. The word try. What I hear is there's effort. If you're going to try to do something, it takes effort. Make an effort, in other words. Make an effort to excel, to grow, to move forward in the gifts of the Spirit. And let me tell you this, if God tells us to put forth effort in something, I think we should put forth effort in something. If God tells us to try something, we should try a lot harder than we try at everything else we're doing in life. Somebody else tells us to try, okay, whatever. But God tells me to try, I'm going to try. I'm going to put forth. God says put forth effort in this. Let's put forth effort in this. Because obviously it's important. Obviously there's something that God wants to do in and through that. That's why he's telling us try. That's why he's telling us make an effort in this. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow the way of love. What was 1 Corinthians 13? It's the whole love chapter. What's it all about? It's all in the context of the use of the gifts of the Spirit. But there are precepts that can be applied throughout life. So he continues in chapter 14, says, follow the way of love and do what? Eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. Eagerly desire. I mean, pick something in your life that you eagerly desire. I got to admit, I had a piece of chocolate cake last night. It was good. I felt guilty the whole time I ate it, but I so much eagerly desired it that I ate it anyway. That's why I told you I got some self-control issues to deal with here. I'm being convicted even right now, right? So, but how much more should we eagerly desire what God has told us to eagerly desire? Yet we get in these places where it's like, but it doesn't make sense, but it's weird. Some people say this about it, others say this. Don't listen to what God says, okay? Because people get messed up. We get hurt. We process things out of our own experiences and feelings, everything. What is God saying? What's he calling you to try? What's he calling you to eagerly desire? I recommend that you do that, that you walk in step with that. I'm just saying. I don't want anybody missing out on something. I'm going to share a couple quick stories, and we're going to get you out of here. I was in Turkey. Some of you have heard this. If you've been around a long time, I haven't shared this in a while. I was in Turkey, the country of Turkey, and there were some folks in our group, about 10 of us in the group, and there were some folks in our group who were getting these prophetic words and speaking these words over people in our group and different things. And I'm like, this is amazing, right? Now, I've heard this. I grew up in a charismatic environment, so I'd heard this, right? But I'm with these people that I know well, and it's just the right kind of environment that we were sitting in a treehouse eating in Turkey, eating Turkish food in like this treehouse restaurant, like literally up in a tree, a rat ran down and everything. It was gross and all that. But I ignored all that. And you know what I did? I said, I want to do that. I want that. I want the Lord to give me those kinds of words of encouragement that I can speak into and over other people's lives. I want to be used by the Lord in that way as an instrument of encouragement for the common good. I want that. And so I began eagerly desiring that. And it started to come. It started to come little by little. And as I'm preparing this message, I'm like, I need to step up my trying and my eagerly on this, even in my life, even right now. The other one was tongues. I'm like, it's here. There's praying in the Spirit. There's singing in the Spirit. It's even for personal edification to build my inner man up to enhance even my prayer life. And I'm reading about this in Scripture, and I'm like, I want that. I want that in my life. And so about 16 years ago, when I started walking the step with the Spirit again, I'm just like, okay, God, I want that. And so I started eagerly desiring to step into it and try. The key word, try to excel in the gifts of the Spirit. So I began to try. You want to know what? I had two syllables that came out for a month out of my mouth. And it sounded to me, it wasn't this, but this is how it sounded to me. Goo, goo, ga, ga. It didn't sound like that, like for real, you know. But to me, that's where I got to the point where I'm like, come on, Lord. This is ridiculous. I sound like a little baby, like a child. I mean, I just keep saying the same thing, you know, whenever I try or eagerly desire to pray in the Spirit. But I continue to try, to seek, to humble myself before him, to pray, to lay myself, my life before him and saying, God, you talk about this. I want it. It's not really happening the way I think, but I want it. In every example of walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, it starts with faith, and it's always a work of God. And just like our lives, it's a process. I mean, just even the whole concept of walking with God are walking, being in, it's a process, it's a walk. It's something we do every day. And every day as we walk with him and we're in step with him, we're a little further along this journey with him. It's a process. It's growth. It's God at work in us. The one who justified us is sanctifying us as we're walking in step with him. It's about growing in the Lord. And it's about being daily immersed in the Spirit. Let's stand up as we close.